We're now going to do Dav Vav Amud Aleph of Maseches Moed Katan. We are up to the fourth line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda had said that if you find a field that has a kever marked in it, with a marking, and you don't know what the story is with that field, Rabbi Yehuda said you can't make any assumptions whether there are trees there, not trees there, so what does that mean? No, you got to find someone. Find a Zaken, find a Talmud Chacham, and ask him what the story is. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyesham Zaken O Talmud. You have to wait till you find a Zaken or a Talmud Chacham. Ask them what the story is. Not everyone knows what the story is. Not everyone's an expert. What you do see from here is that when there's a Talmud Chacham in town, it's his job to know what's going on, and therefore he's expected to know. And this is true of anything. If you go to a town and there's a rabbi in town, he should know what the story is with the mikvah, what the story is with the kashrus, what the story is with all the different issues that might come up in that town. So main point number one, a Talmud Chacham is expected to know what's going on in his town. Next, Amar Avida Matza Evan Mitsuyanis. If you find a stone that is marked, that has some plaster on it to mark it for a grave, Tachteha Tame, the area right under that stone you could assume is Tame. But Shtaim, if you find two stones near each other, Im Yesh Sid Beinayan, if the area between them is plastered, Beinayan Tame, then the area between them is Tame as well, is the Tame area, and the stones are just the markers for the area in between them. Vim Ein Sid Beinayan, but if the area between them is not plastered, then Beinayan Tar, then the area between them is tahar, and each stone is just marking tumah that's beneath it. Says Gemara, wait a second. That's the way to tell. Just if the area between them is plastered, v'afalgav deleka choresh. If it's not plastered, even if it's not plowed, you're going to assume that it's not tameh. V'atanya, we have a brisa matza even achas mitzuyanes. If you find one marked stone, tachteh tameh, the area right underneath it is tameh. But shtayim, if you find two marked stones, im yesh choresh b'nei, and if the area between them is plowed, then b'nei. The area between them is tar. Imlav, but if the area is not plowed, b'nei tame, then the area is considered tame, even though it's also not marked with any plaster. Amrav Papa, hacha, kishasid shafachal rashayan merudu lekanu lekan. Now the case over here is that you have two stones and there's some plaster poured over the tops of those stones, but the plaster seems to have extended from the top of those stones to a little bit to the area between them. Then we say, look, if the area between them is plowed, why do you think there's some plaster between them? Tar. The area between it is tar because while you were plowing the area between them, so probably some of the plaster came down and landed between them. But that would still be a tahar area because no one ever marked that area. But v'lo, if the area between them is not plowed, then what's the plaster doing between them? Then that plaster must be plaster that belongs in between them and it's coming to mark off that area, and therefore v'tame. Therefore, that area is going to become tame. Amar Rabbi Asi, Meitzar Echad Mitzuyan. If you have a field where one border of the field is marked off with plaster, hu tame, that border is tame, but v'kalasad dekula tahora, the whole rest of the field is considered tahar. Shnayim, if two borders of the field are marked off, heim tame and v'kalasad dekula tahora, those two borders are tame, everywhere in between, the whole rest of the field is tahar. Shlosha, if three borders are marked off, heim tame, and those three borders are all tame, kalasad dekula tahora, but the whole rest of the field is tahar. Arba'a, but if all four boundaries, all four borders of the field are marked off, Hain, Tahorin, the boundaries themselves are assumed to be Tahor, Vekala Sada Kula Tameya, but they are marking off a field where the whole rest of the field is Tameh. Damar Mar, In Marchikin Sin Mimakam Tumah, Shalah Havsin Eseret Yisrael. Because after all, we have the rule. When you mark off Tumah, you have to mark it off not directly above the Tumah, but also not too far away from the Tumah, because we don't want too broad of an area, too large of an area of Eretz Yisrael to be labeled as Tameh. So when a field has four borders marked off, it's not the borders that are Tameh, it's the whole rest of the field, the entire area in between the borders that are Tameh. So main point number two, when there is plaster between two marked stones, when there's plaster on, let's say, unplowed ground between two marked stones, or all four borders of a field are marked, the area in between is assumed to be tameh. So again, when there's plaster on unplowed ground between two marked stones, or all four borders of a field are marked, the area in between them is assumed to be tameh. Then the Mishnah went on to say, "V'yotz nafal l'klayim." We go out and we announce the Bezin on Chalamoi goes out to get rid of any klayim that are in people's fields. Klayim is when you have two things that should not be growing in proximity to each other that are. That's called klayim. Says Gemara, "V'klayim b'chol shalmoi nafkinan." Is that when we go to take care of klayim that are growing in people's fields on Chalamoi? Or a minu? I'll ask you a stira from another Mishnah. Mishnah Masech Shkolim says, "Be'echad ba'adar mashmin al shkolim." On the first day of Chodesh Adar, we let everybody know that they have to prepare to bring their machzah shekel via laklayim, and we also let everybody know that now that the winter is ending, they have to go to their fields and make sure that there's no klayim growing in their fields. But chamisha asurba, on the 15th day of Adar, the day we call Shushan Purim, those cities that celebrate Shushan Purim read the Megillah on those days, on that day, on the 15th of Adar, the Yotzin the Kavitz Asadrachim, and we go out on the 15th day of Adar to remove any dangers that are on the road, Ulusakin Aruchovos, and to fix the streets that have become ruined during the winter months, Velomuda Mikvos, and to measure out the Mikvos to make sure that each Mikvah is 40 saw of water, Vosin called Sarkei Rabim, and that's when we do anything that the masses need. And we go out to mark the graves, and we go on Shushan Purim to remove any klayim that may be growing in any people's fields. But bottom line, as you see from this Mishnah, when do we do that? We do that on Shushan Purim, not on Chol HaMoed, which is not till a month later than that. Says Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So they both give answers. Chad Amar, Kan Bevachir, Kan Ba'afil. One of them says, well, grain that grows earlier, you can get rid of the klayim earlier on Shushan Purim. Grain that grows a little later, you need to wait till Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is a month later. Chad Amar, and the other answer is no. Kan Bizraim, Kan Birakos. When we say that you go out on Shushan Purim, that's for that's for grain and things like that, which already start to grow then. Whereas the Mishnah, which says you go out on Chol HaMoed, is talking about vegetables, greenery, which doesn't grow till later in the season. Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu El She'ein Nitza Nikar. This is only if the fruit, I mean these dates of going out specifically to get rid of the klayim on Shushan Purim or on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's only if you can't see the beginning of the fruit to sprout. Avonitza Nikar Yotzin Aleihen. But once you see the beginning of the fruit to sprout, even if it's before Shushan Purim, you should go out and get rid of it. But of all dates to pick on the Jewish calendar to send people out to remove klayim from the fields, why do we do it on Chol HaMoed? Because we have to hire workers to do this, and workers are busy the rest of the year. They're not working anyway on Chol HaMoed, so Chol HaMoed is an ideal time to go and do it, since on Chol HaMoed they're not working anyway, so the work will be cheaper. Amar Rav Zvid Vitema Rav Misharshia Shma Mina. So Zvid, and some say Rav Misharshia says, you see from here, Ki Yavinelu Schar Mitshumas Alishcha Yavinelu. It must be that we pay the guys who do this work from public funds, from the funds that we collect in the Beis Hamikdash. Di Sal Kadaitach Mididhu Yavinelu. Because if you would think that maybe just wherever we find klayim in someone's field, let the owner of that field foot the bill for all the workers that have to go out and pull up the klayim. Well then, my nafkalan minayu, why would we care so much about the price and keeping the cost down if we're just going to make the owner of the field pay for it anyway? The fact that we care so much about keeping the cost down indicates to us that we must be using public funds for this. The kalkama debar litein lahu, and therefore, whatever the workers ask for, we're going to give them. Even meaning kalkama, if it was the guy who owned the field that was paying for it, kalkama debar litein lahu, let him pay whatever the workers want, even if they want double the price. The fact that we are so careful to keep the price down tells us we must be using public funds for this, and that's an important lesson also. Whenever you have public funds at your discretion to use, you have to be very careful how it gets used. That's Mamon Hegdish that we're dealing with. So next main point, we go to uproot Klayim three different stages. As soon as the fruit is recognizable, then again on Shushan Purim, and then again on Chol HaMoed, when the work is cheap, since we're using public funds. When the workers are cheap, since we're using public funds. Ve'ad kama, the Gemara goes on to say, how much klayim is too much klayim that we need to go and uproot it? Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Kolsa Shishninu Kolsa Sheyesh Ba Rova Zera Miminachar Yema'it. Any saw of seeds that has a quarter of a kav of other plants that are mixed in with it You have to get rid of it. You have to uproot it. Says Gemara Vatanya Hiskinu Shiu Mafkirin Kolasad Kula. Wait, that sounds like you're just uprooting whatever's klayim there. But didn't we learn in a brisa that that's not what Beis Din did? Beis Din would be mafkir the whole field. Beis Din would declare if they found a little bit of klayim in your field, they would declare your entire field to be ownerless. So why are we saying that Beis Din just uproots that little piece of field? Lo kasha. There were different stages in history of how Beis Din dealt with klayim that was found in the field. And those stages are elaborated on in this brisa right here. Ditanya, we have a brisa. Barishona, originally, hayu okrin, umashlichon fnei b'amtan. Originally, the shluchei Beis Din would come. If they found klayim in your field, they'd rip up the klayim from your field, and they would throw it in front of your animals, let your animals eat it. Vayu balibatim smechen shtei smachos. And the people who owned those fields were like, oh, this is awesome. We're doubly happy. Achas sheminakshin lehem. First of all, sadoseyan, first of all, for free, we're getting free labor. They're weeding our fields, pulling out all this unnecessary stuff from our fields for free. And they're feeding our animals for us. So it's awesome. What a great service Beis Din is providing. So they realize that that's not very effective. That's not an effective deterrent to get people not to have klayim in their fields. So Yeskinu, so stage two was, Shiyu okrin umashlichen al adrachim. They would weed the fields. They would take out the klayim from the field, but they wouldn't put it in front of the animals. They would just throw it on the roads. But vadayinu yismechen simcha gedolah shem nachshon sadoseyan. But still the owners of the fields were happy because their fields were weeded for free, free of charge. So Yeskinu, then they made a third takana, shiyu mafkirin kalasad kula. That if they found any klayim in your field, after they already gave fair warning on Rosh Chodesh Adar, get rid of all your klayim. If they found any klayim growing in your field, Beis Din would be mafkir, would make your whole field ownerless, would take away your field from you, would make your whole field hafkir. So the last main point, three historical stages in uprooting klayim. A, where they would place it in front of the guy's animals. B, where they throw it in the street. And C, where they'd make the entire field hefker. The Ezra Hashem, we will pick up at the Mishnah on the Vavam Beis next time.